1 John chapter 2 tonight, going back to the book of 1 John and looking through and going through what the Apostle John has written to us. I just finished this afternoon the book of Revelation, and boy, challenging book in some areas, but very thankful for the Apostle John and his faithfulness to the Lord and how he just stayed so faithful all the way to the end and trusted the Lord in every situation. I'm so thankful for that testimony. We began chapter 2 last week, got a little bit, a little ways down there. If you will notice verse 7, chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, just thinking through chapter 2 here, I have the titled A New Commandment, and John writes a new commandment. Kind of interesting here. I wanted to touch on, he says, I write no new commandment to you. And then he says, I write a new commandment to you. Now, just to clarify, John is telling us he is not writing a new commandment. Then he tells us he is. Now, what does he mean? He used two different Greek words here, but both are translated new, N-E-W. One means new in time. The other means new in quality. We use some words like that even today. I have one example of recent and fresh. Recent and fresh. We could use those sometimes almost synonymously, but they are different. Now, recent means in time. Yeah, recent. When did you last go to the store? Recently. Talking about time, right? Fresh, though, means in quality. New in quality. Is the milk fresh? You ever smelled milk? You're going, it's fresh. You know it's not fresh. In quality, it's fresh. It's new. And that's what he's talking about here. There's time, there's quality. The commandment to love one another is not new in time, but it is new in character. And that's what we'll see here in just a minute. It's not new in time. We knew this from the beginning, John says, that you've heard from the beginning, that we ought to love one another and love God. Jesus said that, right? He said, you love me and, what, heart, soul, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. On all the others hang this commandment. And we know that. So he tells us that the commandment is not something new. Jesus Christ, you know, the old commandment to love one another has taken on new meaning. It is new in emphasis, new in example, new in experience. That's what he's saying. Now, as we think about this here tonight, we must understand what he's meaning. And the heart or crux of this is love and loving our brethren or our brothers. Now, the word there, love, you know, is agape. It's certain qualities as described in 1 Corinthians 13. We'll look at here tonight. So would you go with me? 1 Corinthians 13. Let's look at this real briefly. Just a clear definition of the love that John's talking about. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, Paul speaking here. And he talks about charity. Now, clarification. Translations today, newer translations, they change the word charity to love, don't they? Love, and there's a distinction. Now, I prefer and I appreciate the King James Version as he keeps here the word charity because it gives distinction to the love or type of love he's talking about. The world flashes around and throws around the word love today, and it's a wrong definition of love, isn't it? It's mostly physical. We fell in love, etc., etc. I won't go into those details. But notice he gives a definition. They emphasize what love is, not what love is, but what love does. And there are 15 actions described here in 1 Corinthians. Now notice verse number 4. Charity suffereth long. Notice that. Suffereth long. Now there's 6 that we start out with, 6 that show us what true love does, and there's 9 that show us what true love does not do. Very clear here. Now, notice the first one. It suffers long. It is patient in the context of having patience with people. And that's what John's talking about, isn't he? Love the brothers, the brethren, the people around us. We have patience for other things. Usually people are at the bottom of the list, aren't they? They're hard to deal with, difficult. Patience with people. Notice he says suffers long. 2, It says it's always kind. It's kind. It's kind. It is useful. It is serving. It is gracious. It means doing kind things, obviously, but just being kind. When's the last time you did something just kind? A kind word, a kind action. Oh, a kind thought towards somebody that you then turned into service. It's kind. Notice thirdly, it bears all things. Verse 7, bears all things. It bears all things. I like this. To bear all things means to cover, support, or protect others. Right? You have to bear some things in life. Take some things on the chin, if you will, at times. Fourthly, it believes all things. Love is not suspicious. Love. This love that Paul's talking about here, the definite, is not suspicious. Meaning, it gives the benefit of the doubt, doesn't it? Well, they come into church and they made that comment because they have, you know, they said that. They're probably giving because they want something from the Lord. It's not suspicious. It believes all things. Now, again, you understand and clarifying, it doesn't mean believes doctrinal, all doctrinal things from man. We must make sure we differentiate that and take everything by the scriptures. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Love hangs on, never gives up. It refuses to take failure as final. Number 6, it endures all things. It's enduring. Love holds fast, never lets go. It bears the unbearable. So these are things that love does, and that's something that we ought to do. Notice that here briefly, the 9 things that love does not do. Again, verse 4, it does not envy. It does not envy. It envieth not. Where love is, envy cannot be. It does not get jealous, and it does not wish ill will on anybody. Ill will. You remember the time that the apostles came and they told Jesus, basically telling him what to do. He said, Lord, should we command or should you command fire to rain down or lightning out of heaven to destroy the... And he said, whoa, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what a spirit you're of, and etc. He says, what do you think about? There is this here. We don't envy, wish ill will. Notice again, it does not vaunt itself. Verse 4, does not vaunt. It does not brag. One who loves... they talk about and ask the question, what about you? What do you want? You ever talk to someone and they talk all about themselves, their kids, their weekend, their whatever they're doing? We've got to think about that. What about you? Doesn't vaunt himself, doesn't puff up, he says. It's not conceited. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must be right alongside of him. He must increase and I need to be equal with him. What's he say? He must increase, I must what? Decrease, the opposite. I go down. When he's exalted in my life, I decrease. Notice verse number 5 here. Does not behave itself unseemly. Does not behave itself unseemly. Love does not act rudely or with poor manners. We had a dear, precious lady in the church, last church that we served at. She was an elderly lady. And she was just, every time we saw every service, she'd always say something critical, rude or mean-spirited, you know. What are you wearing that for? Or, you know, I won't, other things she would say, but, you know, just thinking about it, rudely, poor manners. And then she would always say, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. If you took it that way, then you're in the wrong, you know, and those kind of things. Bless her heart, by the way. God bless her. You think about, you see here that it doesn't behave itself unseemly, does not seek its own. Christ himself came not to be ministered, but to minister. Minister. His purpose was not to have people rub his back, pat him on the shoulders, take care of him. He wanted to minister. Notice 6, that is not easily provoked. Love guards against being irritated, upset, angered. That's what he's saying here. Easily provoked. It thinks no evil, keeps no records of wrongs, grudges, revenge. Does not rejoice in iniquity, does not take satisfaction in sin. As a believer or child of God, if you love the Lord and serve him, every bit of sin ought to irritate and bother you. It ought to find no satisfaction. You found just a little bit of satisfaction in it. There's a problem. And that's for all of us. We know that. Does not rejoice in iniquity, says verse 6. And then notice verse number 8. It doesn't cease. Charity never faileth. Never faileth. The old commandment to love one another, it takes on a new beginning. A new meaning, as John puts it here. But this is a definition. There's what love does and what love does not. Now, would you go back with me? Thank you for turning your Bibles. Back to 1 John 2, and he continues here. Now, a couple things here tonight. Number 1, it is new in emphasis. Verse 7, it's new in emphasis. As he puts here, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which he had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which he heard from the beginning. love one another is no longer one commandment among many. We know that. It is now above the other moral commands, Mark 12 in particular. It is now the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13. This is the one he's talking about. It's new in emphasis. He describes these things for us. He also continues and says, love one another is at the beginning of the Christian life. It can contradicts our natural inclination to love self. And that's what it is. When you share the gospel with someone at the very beginning, what do you say? You have to admit, sir, that you're a sinner. You have to admit, ma'am or child, or grandma, you have to admit you're a sinner. I need Christ. I need Him. I no longer love self. I love Him. It proves that we are saved. 1 John 3. Listen to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So clearly, it's given by the Holy Spirit in us. Romans 5, verse 5. Love one another is not mere sentiment. Now again, it is a matter of will, not emotion. It's a matter of action, not feeling. This is the biblical definition. The world today takes love and makes it what? It's a feeling. We fell out of love. What does that mean? They're no longer attracted to each other, right? We fell out of love. There's no longer fuzzy, warm feelings inside when I come home after work. That goes out the door about 3 weeks into marriage, doesn't it? You think about those. That's what the world defines love as, a feeling. And that's the churches today. And this is why we warn and talk about these things. Most churches today, they go after the feeling, don't they? Oh, I felt so good in service. Just everything was so great and grand. Not all churches that do that, I'm not saying. But, you know, that feeling. Well, we got to come back to what's the fact? What is it? We go after that. It's a matter of action, not feeling. Very clear. It's a new example. It's a new example. Now notice verse number 8 again. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. It was first true in Christ, then in those who trusted him. And so clear in the example, notice Jesus set the example in life and the life that he lived. He never showed hatred or malice. He hated all sin, and he made that clear, but he never hated the sinner, did he? Never hated the sinner. Never hated those that came to him. And in no wise I'll cast them out, right? He always hated the sin. He always went about doing good. That's what the gospel account says. Went about doing good. Went about doing good. Doing good everywhere he went, everything he did. He wasn't a pushover at all. He did not take lip from people, you know, in certain ways. He did not retaliate, we know. But again, he went about doing good. Jesus set the example. Jesus set the example of love in his treatment of others. All misunderstood him, in particular the 12 apostles. They misunderstood him. They came to the tomb that day. The tomb was empty. Said, ah, they were right. They took his body. We don't know what happened. Mary even came to the gardener, remember? If you're the gardener. If you put his body somewhere, tell me and I'll take it. What was wrong? It came back to this. They did not listen to Christ. They did not follow the scriptures or know the scripture, the Bible says. And so we see example in his treatment of others. They misunderstood him. They all deserted him. The Bible says in the gospel account, they all forsook him and then what? Fled. 20 guys or people came at you and said, we're going to beat you up. We're going to, and you go, yeah, well, I got all my guys. My guy, where'd you guys go? They all fled, left you hanging. They left you high and dry. I'm being funny about that, but it wasn't funny with the Lord. And they deserted him, didn't they? They broke his heart. They doubted him. One denied him publicly, and one even betrayed him to the face. Betrayed him. Kissed his cheek. That kiss of denial. We see here Jesus set the example. Jesus set the example of kinds of people he loved. Now again, coming back to our ultimate example of love and what it is. This new commandment, John says, I've given unto you. You love one another. He loved the publicans. He loved the sinners. Those were the immoral and men and women. The lowest of the low. He loved the Pharisees. He loved ultimately the enemies, which is all of us. We all at one time were an enemy of God. Very clear. Ephesians 2 lays that out for us. We were at enmity with God. All of us. Jesus Christ sets the standard for love. We are not to measure our Christian love against the love of some other Christians. You'll fail every time. You'll be disappointed, won't you? Oh, every single time. But against the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. Would God do that? Would the Lord do that? Would Jesus Christ love that person? Would he retaliate there? He thinks, many people think that. Measure against the Lord, the old commandment becomes a new one to us as we see it fulfilled in Christ. Let me say thirdly, it's also not only an example, it's new in experience. Notice verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Disobedience is darkness. The Christian who hates is living in darkness. Verse 10, the Christian who hates is a stumbling block. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. We can be a stumbling block, can't we? We can if we're not careful. We can cause others and Christians and children to stumble and falter and fail because of our own disobedience. We know hates is stumbling. Christian who hates loses his way. Verse 11, he loses his way. Knoweth not whither he goeth. Notice that. A lot of Christians today don't know where they're going. They're groping around in the dark, just as the world is. They're saved, but they're not following. They're disobedient to the word. They lose their way. The Christian who hates causes trouble in the church. He thinks he's in the light. He thinks he has fellowship with God. He thinks he's spiritual, but actually he is living a lie, a lie. Christian love is not blind. Hatred is blind. Isn't that true? Christian love is not blind. Hatred is blind. Once we see that, several examples, but let me do the second point here. Obedience is light. Disobedience is darkness, obedience is light. And John does a play on these constantly, contrasts one against the other. And I'm so thankful for that because it helps me to understand what he's saying. Christian love keeps us in the light, doesn't he? Verse 10. Keeps us there. Christian love keeps us from being a stumbling block, obviously. A blind man carried a light at night. Thinking through that. Why did he do that? A blind man carried a light during Bible times in particular at night. Well, what did he do? For the other person. Let him know I'm here. Don't run right in, walk right into me. He carried a lamp with him, although he's blind. Had his walking stick, whatever it was, so other people could see him. You get the understanding, you get the analogy there. Christian love keeps us in the light, keeps us from being a stumbling block to the others around us. Christian love keeps us growing spiritually. There are many commands to love. Keeps us growing. We're to prefer one another. Romans 12:10, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. We're to be of the same mind one to another. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So he was an example and experience. We're not to judge one another. You know those verses. Romans 14, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fail in his brother's way. We're to receive one another, admonish one another. All of these verses we could go through. Hear one another, bear one another's burdens, edify one another. Again, coming back to the love that he gave us in verse 13. Verse 13. And so, as we see here, he continues. Verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Oh, that ought to make us love one another when we don't want to. That ought to make us get up and serve God. That ought to make us to keep going when we don't want to go, or been defeated, or put down, or you're just having a crummy day. What is it? You remember that your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. You remember what Christ did for you. You remember all that he's done and continues to do in our lives. As I was praying today about the church building, I thought, Lord, do you know what? Just I haven't even thanked you for just giving us the opportunity. You know, there's churches out there, they don't have any of these prospects, another church possibly, to purchase or get into. I thought, thanks for the opportunity. It's just kind of a thing to say, Lord saying to us, hey, I'm still here. I'm still listening. I'm still taking care of you guys. And I want you to know that. But Christian love, oh, it's something we're to experience. The best thing we can do now is to search our hearts to see if we hold anything against others, something against us. What is it that's keeping us from the love we're supposed to be showing? The life that is real is an honest life. Doing, not merely saying. James said that as we read that several, I think about a month ago. He says, be a doer, not a hearer. Not a hearer. Love and the charity that's talked about in the scripture is a clear distinction from the world's love. From what the world has today. Oh, so many divorces and breakups. I heard just today a friend of mine that I grew up with, he just divorced last week or something. And he's got little kids, I think two or three of them under the age of 12 years old. And it just breaks your heart. You know, you think about it. Something happened there. And it comes back to, what is my correct definition and understanding of love? It better be this. Now, let me just have a few more points, and we'll wrap it up. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the what? The world, isn't it? The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, just a couple things here that God hates, if you will, those that give in and compromise to the world and the world system, the way the world is. Love not the world, he says. Understanding that. Now, we know that. Go on about several things here, but just clarifying. Because of what the world is, world refers to different things. You know that. The planet Earth, the population. John 3:16, he talks about the world. He's talking not about planet Earth. He's talking about the population. You know that. People. Godless system by Satan, John 14:30, talks about the world and the evil of the world. It is temporary proving ground for man. Now notice that. As he talks about the world, he talks about the growth and the people, the people that he's ministered to, the old men, the fathers, the young men. Some have referred to this as the different stages of spiritual growth he may be talking about. But also he's talking to literal people that are there within the church and that have grown and matured. But he speaks here again, temporary proving ground for us as human beings is this world, preparing us for the ultimate place. There's a prepared place for the prepared person, right? How are we doing now in this dress rehearsal? And working for it. You got to live with these people for all of eternity. Remember that. These Christians, we better get along with them here. Now, it is in the area of Satan's domain, his rebellion against God. This is the world he's talking about, this world. It has a world of wickedness. There's organized against Christ. We know that. Ephesians 6 talks about that. He uses unsaved people to accomplish his goals. This is Satan's domain. Don't forget that. This is the God of this world he talks about in 2 Corinthians 4. That's what he means. This world is wicked against Christ. There are good people that are unsaved. There are. We know that. We have a lot of friends like that. I know you do as well. Good people. They're moral. They're ethical. They'll give you the shirt off their back to help you. But they're unsaved people. And we think about that. Boy, when I say, think of the world and those people, you know, it's heartbreaking. We're trying our best to reach those people. I hope you are. But you think about what he's saying here is that world, that wickedness, this world is one day going to be consumed, all that's in it, consumed by fire. It's not a natural habitat for believers. We know that. I like the example I found here. We're like the scuba diver in the ocean. We can be in the ocean for a while, but it's not our natural habitat. We got to come back up to get some air, don't we? Or we got to come back and get that bottle refilled. Anyone ever been scuba diving before? Nobody? Well, maybe we'll make that a church trip or an activity or something. Wouldn't that be fun? No. And you think about it, you go in the water. It's not your natural habitat. You think about it here. It's not natural for us. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen. Our life is in heaven. Philippians 3:20, Colossians 3, Galatians 2. Our inheritance is in heaven. Just a reminder of these things. Okay, I'll stop there for tonight. But you think about, he says, love not the world. As you have a new commandment to love the Lord and love the brethren, love the brothers around you, walking in light, not in darkness, it comes down to this. You have to make a decision. Am I going to love the world or hate the world? Am I going to be a part of the world or am I going to be against the world? I'm going to be different. And by the way, the world will not open its arms up and get ready to give you a big old hug and a kiss. They're going to what? They're going to shun you and hurt you and defame you. And in alongside of that, we have other fellow believers and Christians that may do the same. But what do? We're not loving them for them. We're loving them not for us. We're doing it for Jesus Christ and for his name's sake, aren't we? For his glory. I hope you know that. I know you do. All right, let's stop there for tonight. We'll continue this as we continue next week. And we're getting into some exciting stuff next week. I'm so excited about some of these things coming up as we think about all that God has for us in the future. and also what he has for us right now. And he says in chapter 5, what? I've written these things that you may know right now that you're saved. You may know, not guess at, wonder, and assume. You know it for sure, and you have that confidence in him. All right, I'll stop. Lord, thank you for the time tonight to gather around your word and look at, Father, all that you have for us, and a great help to us tonight to think about that we want to serve you, Lord, not to please man, but to please you. Strengthen us to do that. So easy to say. It's easy for me to preach it and talk about it. But Lord, it's difficult to do it tomorrow morning or we get up and start another day. Lord, strengthen us to do our part. Stay faithful to you. We love you and thank you again for the time. Bless and, Lord, answer those prayers that we prayed tonight, those prayer requests. We ask that you guide us now the rest of our week. Bring us back safely on Sunday, if it be thy will. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you.